Now, one of the things I want us to keep in mind, as I shared with you before, it was ordained. It had already been determined by God the Father that Jesus would go through all that he went through, but it was not going to last forever. Oh, it was going to be extremely, excruciatingly painful, tormenting, anguishing, stressful, distressing while it lasted, but it was not going to last forever. The forever part was going to be the indescribable joy and the peace that would follow that suffering. By the way, let me mention this briefly. The writer of Hebrews was writing this letter to some saints who were undergoing severe persecution. They were having their homes taken away from them. They were being just devastated financially. They were being beaten. They were being thrown in prison. They were being treated very, very, very badly. And the goal of the evil, wicked people who were treating them like that was to get them to turn their backs on God and walk away from their salvation. And so the writer of Hebrews was really writing to encourage them to not throw in the towel. That's what Hebrews chapter 11 is all about. The reason that the writer of Hebrews in chapter 11 tells us not only about the people who fared very, very well in their godly lives, like Abraham and others who did well financially, had some high positions in the earth, were highly respected, etc. People who received all kinds of miracles. He also, the writer of Hebrews, also let us know about the people who lived as destitute saints of God on the earth. People who lived in caves and in holes in the ground. They gave us the full picture. They let us know that there were people of God who did okay, materially speaking, socially speaking. But there were people who did very, very well. But there are also people of God who did terribly through no fault of their own. It was because of the persecution. And chapter 11 is all about letting us know all of these people died in faith. They died still trusting, loving, and believing God was going to deliver on what he had promised at the appointed time. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 39. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Verse 40. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. They were much more interested in being made perfect than they were of getting the next promotion, the next huge lump sum of money. They wanted to be made perfect. That could only happen when it is time for us to be made perfect with them, and that will occur only at the time God has already appointed. Chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Do not be deceived by the people who teach that once we put our faith out there, we don't have to persevere. Ladies and gentlemen, faith and perseverance go hand in hand. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now listen to verse 2. Remember what I just shared with you about the Lord Jesus' account in his experience on the Mount of Olives as he was praying to his Father about what he was going through. And we read that he was in such anguish that according to the writer of Hebrews, part of the experience was he offered up prayers and petitions with loud cries, not just cries, loud cries and tears. But listen to another part of that same story in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. For the joy that was set before him, the Lord Jesus continued to do what he needed to do, to drink from that cup, to experience all the persecution, all the humiliation, all the shaming words, all the shaming acts, hanging on a cross naked in front of all those people, being called all kinds of names and falsely accused of things that they knew he was not guilty of, being considered a sinner because of their sin and ours. But for the joy, he knew that it wasn't all going to end on the cross. He knew that that wasn't the end. He knew that there was something coming beyond the cross. And it was going to bring great joy that would last forever. And now where is he? He's seated on the right hand of the throne of God. He's with his Father forever, never to be separated from him again, never to be subject to death again. Now he rules over death. After he cried out with loud cries and tears, after he cried out sweating blood, he called to his Father and his Father heard him. What does he say about us? Psalm 91, I want you to remember this. Beginning at verse 14. Let's begin at verse 13. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra. You will trample the great lion and the serpent. Verse 14, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. Call, cry out, call upon the Lord. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. He showed Jesus his salvation. Let's let him show us his salvation.